Well, hello, and thanks for joining me once again for another installment of the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. My name is Matthew, and along with my wife, Victoria, we're the owners and operators of the hand car washing business in Churchill called the Washin' Word. And we chose that name because we wash your car and we deliver the Word of God. And so we deliver these verse-by-verse Bible teachings to you free of charge. We earn money at the car wash by hand-washing your vehicles, and with that we support our family and we support this ministry. And we never ask for any kind of handouts or charity or tithings or anything like that. We accept tips, but again, everything we do is done so that we can get God's Word into your ears. And friends, when God's Word is going into your ears, well, guess what? It's also going into your soul and into your spirit. And then it goes into your life. And God's Word improves your life. And it's just simple as that. And if we are going to attempt to improve our life by decreasing the Word of God in any platform, well, that's just folly. In fact, That is about as foolish or as of folly as anything Solomon has written in the book of Ecclesiastes, which is where we're at right now. And we are examining Solomon's lifelong pursuit for that ever burdening question of what is the meaning of life. And we've been going through these chapters. We're on chapter 3 now, and I just want to let you know that you can get these sermons. You can go back and listen to them by going to the washinword.com website. In fact, you can find out any information you need about the business or about the ministry by going to washinword.com. And so we got into chapter 3, and Solomon has looked at a lot of contrasts, especially in the first few verses of chapter 3, where he went through the whole thing about there's a time for mourning and a time for laughter, a time to tear and time to... I'm not going to go back all through all of that again. But the crux of the passages here is that there's a time, basically, for everything. And if there is a time for everything, and this is where we left off in our last message, if there's a time for everything that is God-ordained, well, then there must certainly be a God-ordained purpose for that season as well. But we don't always see it, do we? And this is where Solomon gets hung up time and time again. Look at verse 9 and 10. After going through this progression of contrasting themes and seasons, his sum of that in verse 9 says, "What does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in his time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men." Now, I'm going to stop right there. I got a little bit ahead of myself. I want to go back to verses 9 and 10. What does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on men. And so this is where Solomon, again, he gets hung up a lot of times here. He goes through these thought out processes and these examined sections and periods of his life, and he always comes to the same conclusions. At the end of it, he says, what is left? What is there to gain? There's always that sticking point that he gets hung up on. It's kind of like when I used to ride bikes, you know, as a kid, and especially those Kappler brake bikes, you know, where you squeeze the handlebar and the brake squeezes the two rubber stoppers and it gets you, you know, slows you down. I used to hate those things because no matter how I adjusted them, no matter what I did, there always seemed to be a rubbing of the tire along that brake capillar or caliper, however you say it. And, you know, even if it was just once every revolution, there's always that sticking point on the brake system that rubs against the tire when it's not supposed to be. And it was very frustrating. And I can almost see Solomon going through that same type of frustration here. No matter what he examines or what he dives into, there's always that end result where everything just seems meaningless. What does the worker gain from all his toil? This is a burden laid upon men, as he says. But, and as I read part of it a minute ago, verse 11, this scripture in verse 11 is so important. It is paramount to what we are studying in all of this book. He says, God has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Now again, this one verse is so paramount, so structural. And if this verse is true, if it's so important, then there's an equation that is set forth based on the scriptures we've read so far in chapter 3 and this somewhat borderline conclusion that he makes here in verse 11. And so taking what we've learned, the equation is put forth simply as this: God ordained seasons plus God ordained purposes equals beautiful. I'll say that again. This is the summary of chapter 3 so far. God ordained seasons, which is all the contrasting a time for this and a time for that he's already talked about. God ordained seasons plus God ordained purposes, because we know God has a purpose for all those seasons, equals beautiful. And that's what we see here in verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. And he says in its time because, again, the seasons are just that. They come and they go. They come at a certain time and they go at a certain time. But in all things, God has made it beautiful in the proper timing. And so you might be saying, well, why then is life not so beautiful for me? Why is it when we look out there, so many people are not saying that life is beautiful, that God didn't make all things good for me? Well, I venture to say there's an X factor in that previous equation. And by that I mean, well, let's re-examine the equation. Now it could read something like this: God ordained seasons plus God ordained purposes divided by X, well, then that equals beautiful. So instead of God ordained seasons plus God ordained purposes equals beautiful, which is what the scripture says straightforward, we have to come up with some sort of reconciliation between the fact that this is what God says, but there are so many people and there are so many lives and so many situations that aren't beautiful, as we say. And so that's where the X factor comes involved. So God ordained seasons plus God ordained purposes divided by X equals beautiful. Well, what is the X factor? Well, the X factor in the equation is you. You are the X factor. You are the thing that is added or divided or subtracted or multiplied to the equation God ordained seasons plus God ordained purposes equals beautiful. You are that X factor because it is your attitude. It is your patience. It is your faith and your trust or your release. It is what you do and respond to these things. And though these natural cycles continue, as Solomon looked at them, most of them being natural seasons, as they continue and all of these things go in revolutions, and for everything, there is a season, turn, turn, turn. Friends, you have a major role in the various outcomes of these cycles, of these seasons. Human activity within God's sovereignty. Human activity or human response within the sovereignty of God's natural workings. That's how we make beauty. That's how we take ashes and make them beauty. That's how we take these negative seasons and turn them into beauty. Well, God turns them into beauty, but it is our response to them that is the X factor in whether or not your life turns out beautiful as a result of these seasons or just turns out bitter. But there is one thing that you do not have control over. That is what God places inside of you or within you. And verse 11b is so pivotal because it escapes no one. God has placed eternity within the hearts of all people. This is why even before the Bible was written, or even in places where the natural world has yet to even invade, these tribes of ancient times, or these nomads that live in areas where the world has yet to trounce in their lives, and this is why there's this natural tendency towards believing in a God, believing in a spirit, believing in an afterlife. The American Indians had the Trinity as part of their belief system, even though they never were given the doctrine of the Trinity. There's things that God has put within every living human soul. And friends, every soul out there is searching. We are all searching for something. But God has already put it within our hearts. It's like a divine elastic rubber band. No matter where we stretch out to find the meaning of life, or where we stretch to find true happiness, or where we stretch to find our peace, like an elastic band, we're always being snapped back to what has already been put inside the very depths of every living human being. Friends, animals do not have this restlessness. They are soulless. They don't seek these mental and, you know, meanings of life. They don't have this cerebral understanding of what it means or why we're alive. No, God put eternity in our hearts. And if God so graciously allows our beloved pets to get into heaven, for the Bible is not clear on that, well, it would be for the sake of our enjoyment only, not because they had some kind of a soul or some way of tapping in to the eternity that God put in their hearts, because he didn't do it. He did it to us, for us, so that we wouldn't have to waste our life searching endlessly for the thing God has already put there, perfect peace, perfect harmony, perfect everlasting life through Jesus Christ, and it's already there. All we have to do is put our faith in it. So instead of reaching inward and tapping into that which God has already provided, what do we do? What do humans do? We search. We, like Solomon, spend endless time and energy, hours, money, resources. We spend it seeking and searching for what has already been given to us by God. We, because we are so smart, have to know why to every single question. But God has put eternity in our hearts. We seek peace, but God has put eternity in our hearts. And when we seek something outside of what God has already given us, it's going to lead to very illogical conclusions, foolish conclusions. And I wonder if the atheists of the world have something unique. I wonder if the devil himself has given the atheists, those who the Bible calls foolish, the Bible says that he that says there is no God is foolish. And maybe the devil has put something there in place of what God has put in their hearts. The devil has given the atheist the ability to find that place where God has put eternity, and they have sought it out and they have removed it, and the devil has given them that ability. And so in that way, atheists are kind of evolved in a sense, much to their demise. St. Augustine said, "Thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they learn to rest in thee." And I'll end with my favorite author, a quote by C.S. Lewis. He said, "Our Heavenly Father has provided many delightful inns for us along our journey, but he takes great care to see that we do not mistake any of them for our home." Friends, stop looking. Stop seeking and just accept Jesus Christ He is the fulfillment of every search. He is the end of every inquiry. Well, that's all the time we have today. Again, go to washandword.com for info. Have a blessed day.